The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, Justin Fields' second pro day is today. What do you think about this prospect?
Trevor Lawrence got the number one spot locked up, and rightfully so. But I'm taking Justin Fields right after that. As a Michigan Wolverine,
really?
This guy's giving me nightmares. Let's start the show before I cry.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
Dog?
What exactly is it that
we
do?
Give the people what they want.
Joining us later on the show is a gentleman who has bars. Action Bronson joins us later, but we start with the Los Angeles Clippers up against the Pacers. And look at our guy, Miles Turner, rocking what he rocks when he comes into the game. Jalen, what jersey is that?
Appreciate the love, Miles. Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Way to represent. I'm truly humbled that an NBA player would show up at a game with my jersey on. I appreciate the love.
Well, it was the Clippers jerseys that were having a game last night, specifically Paul George. The Clippers have now won six in a row. Paul George looks like the MVP candidate Paul George from a couple years ago. Are we underestimating just how good this team is and how they could end up in the NBA Finals?
Just think about this. The Indiana Pacers at one point in time drafted Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Now they're both playing with the Clippers. One of those guys is playing outstanding right now, and that's Paul George. And playing through his injury, attacking the basket. When he did the dunk over Isaiah Stewart the other night, that was an exclamation point to me to how his confidence and game has continued to grow. Because that play reminded me of when he was playing against the Miami Heat in the playoffs and he got the big dunk and LeBron gave him that. That's the Paul George we're seeing now. He's overcome some injuries in his career. He's also overcome some mental hurdles. And the entire Clippers team overcame struggling in the bubble and not meeting expectations last year. So now when I look at them up front, Jacoby, they have Zubac giving them great minutes. They have Mook Morris basically shooting 45, almost over 45% from three. They're going to get Serge back. The Clippers have now become the second most formidable foe when healthy to me to the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference race.
I agree. When you listen to media people talk about them, when you listen to your friends and fans talk about them, people forget about these Clippers. This roster is not that different than the roster that everyone had winning the championship last year easily. I think the stink of their bubble performance has kind of followed them through the season. But as you mentioned, Ibaka's going to come back. They've added Rondo. We all know about playoff Rondo. Paul George is playing great. And Kawhi Leonard is going to be back soon. This is a very formidable team in the Western Conference. Now we turn our attention to a team in the Eastern Conference that has played under expectations except of late, and that is the Boston Celtics, who played late in Portland against a formidable Trailblazer opponent and looked really good. Jalen, what do you see from the Celtics?
I think Jason Tatum is cheating. I think right before he takes the court, he gets a haircut in the locker room. He stayed crispy, just like his game. And offensively, where he's grown, Jacoby, is he's able to drive to the basket and play through contact. You see him driving now, he'll knock the defender's arm off, and he'll actually go dunk on you. He wasn't necessarily doing that earlier in his career. And being able to do that, I think now has really opened up his step-back jump shot. And his three-point shot continues to improve. And Jaylen Brown is that Swiss Army knife that's going to guard multiple positions, going to give you that toughness, but also is an improved offensive weapon. Those two are all NBA caliber players. You know what you're going to get from them. That's why they're going to still be a tough out in the playoffs. But the question and the key is what's going to happen with their backcourt. Marcus Smart, all-world defender, and actually their best passer. When you see how he plays with toughness and his body type, you underestimate that he's a really good passer. and he gives you the intangible plays. See, those three guys are going to be out there at the end of the game. The fourth guy is him, Kemba Walker. When he's scoring 20 points a game like he did last night, that's what now makes them on the perimeter a formidable pull against any team in the Eastern Conference. And who's going to play the minutes at the five has been a key. Time Lord has been holding it down for them so far.
Robert Williams III, Time Lord, has been playing well, and he's been inconsistent. But when he's good, there are flashes of someone who can be a true starter and minutes earner in this league for the Boston Celtics. Now, when we talk about the East, you have to talk about the two top teams, the Sixers and the Nets, and they face off tonight in a huge game. Now, not everyone's available to play in the game, but you and I both have the Nets winning the East. However, of late, there's been some questions from you about whether or not the Nets are going to win the East. What are the three key things that would hold them back from winning the East?
Now I'm going to show you how the East Coast rocks. That graphic looks awesome. We got the best team in the game. Thank you, everyone. Number one is health. If the Brooklyn Nets are healthy, they will win the East, and they're going to be a formidable foe legitimately to win the championship. James Harden looked like an MVP whether Kyrie or KD was in or out. Kyrie is top six in the league in scoring, and like I said, his left hand needs its own league pass channel. And that guy right there, Iceberg Slim, shooting trades from the suburbs, when I get confused and want to pick another team, I say whoever has Kevin Durant is going to win the East. However, there's something that Kevin Durant probably doesn't want to have to do, and that's the number two thing on this list, and that's guard physical bigs. How they're going to play against those guys like, say, Joel Embiid, who's playing bully ball with the best of them. Oh, Giannis, he's only the back-to-back reigning MVPs whose number is comparable to him winning it and has unlocked his passing and now getting you triple-doubles. You saw a glimpse of that with Andre Drummond and the Lakers. If they can't defend the bigs, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, they'll be on the sideline. So that means KD and Jeff Green up front, not big enough, not bulky enough to stop those bigs. And finally, chemistry. You're putting a lot of thing in the gumbo in 1 year, Jacoby. You know, I do a lot of cooking. I masquerade as a chef. You know, you're trying out seasonings. You're trying out broths. You're trying out all types of stuff to put in there. They got a new coach, Steve Nash. They got a new assistant coach in Mike D'Antoni. All of the new bought-out players that just joined the team. Their big three has only played together seven times this year. They're going to have to get their chemistry together quick, especially going against opposing teams like Boston, who have chemistry. Bucks, Sixers also have chemistry. These are the teams that you got to pay attention to as the playoffs progress. So the Nets, yes, they're the favorite in the East, but only if all three of those things come true.
Well, Jalen, you're such a good analyst. Why it's such a pleasure to do this show with you. And you're right about their defending against the bigs and their sort of crunch time lineup with Kevin Durant and Jeff Green in the front court and how they're going to stand up against some of the big, great players in the East. You're right about the chemistry. They haven't played together. But all I care about is number one. If they're all three of them are healthy, I don't care if they play game one of the first round together for the first time. If all three of their big guys are healthy, Harden, Durant, and Kyrie, are you picking against them in any series?
I'm not going to be able to do it.
That's really what it comes down to.
I'm not going
to
be able to do it.
I mean, honestly, I don't think there's ever been a game where Blake, LaMarcus, Harden, Kyrie, and Durant have all been available. And I don't care if they're not available until game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I would not pick against
Claxton,
this
giving
team.
Them good minutes. Joe Harris is one of the best knockdown catching shooters in the game. Like, they're legitimate.
Well, one of the best young players in the game, probably going to be future rookie of the year. A gentleman by the name of Anthony Edwards. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of turmoil in Minneapolis and Minnesota of late. And one of the things that happened where the Timberwolves were bought out, and one of the part of the ownership group is a gentleman by the name of Alex Rodriguez, who we all know very well. Well, Anthony Edwards was asked about Alex Rodriguez, and as he does, he offered a hilarious reply.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Jalen, should Anthony Edwards, a 19-year-old man, know who Alex Rodriguez is?
First off, I'm jealous of that hair. You know I'm trying to grow my grass back. Here's what I'll say to anybody that hears this. Number one, do you expect him to actually know the billionaire's name who Alex Rodriguez is joining his group? No.
No.
The only reason why we expect him to know A-Rod's name is because he's famous. So based on that, I'll do a line of demarcation. He probably wasn't watching him play baseball. He doesn't know about his greatness in his Hall of Fame career. But I will say in 2021, he's dating Jennifer Lopez. So therefore, because of that, he should know who he is.
Completely disagree. Completely disagree. I love this from him. I honestly, truly believe he does not know who Alex Rodriguez is. A, because he's not a huge baseball fan. He's 19 years old. And that's a little sort of at the end of Alex Rodriguez's career when he was born. And he's out the gossip. Me and you love the gossip. We're internet people. You know, we know who's J-Lo's dating. We know when they broke up and got back together. We know too much about their relationship because we're on the internet. He's in the gym. He's a basketball player. I like this from him. I salute him for not knowing who Alex Rodriguez is. But I'm sure he knows who all of his opponents are in the NBA that he has to cover. I support him not knowing who Alex Rodriguez is. However, there's more to this story, Mr. Rose. In a hilarious interview that he did earlier this year, he talked about his own baseball prowess, which adds another layer to this conversation.
I used to play baseball when I was young. Yeah, it'd be hot.
Really? How good a baseball player were you?
I could have went to the MLB.
MLB?
Yeah.
I am not surprised.
I'm serious, though.
I love your confidence. Did you play?
I played pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Is that the net? Now we talking.
You could hit the ball.
But I was fourth, fifth hitter. You know what that means.
I love this guy so much. I honestly believe he might never have played baseball before. He was just talking. I really think he was just talking. Oh,
I love
Anthony
that
Edwards
so much.
So
you know
good.
How much I love baseball, fast pitch, tennis ball, softball. Please invite Jalen and Jacoby to play in the local softball league. Midwest, East Jalen. Coast, invite us.
One thing I know you love more than baseball is bars and our next guest. That man right there, Action Bronson, putting work in the gym, will come and join us right after this. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose joining us on the show right now is a man who has what?
Bars!
Bars! Action Bronson
Bars.
Joins us right now. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us in the program. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, fellas. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
Of course, we're going to talk about your new book in a second, but we got to start with the New York Knicks right now in playoff position. How good does it feel as a diehard Knicks fan to see them playing this well?
It feels amazing, but it's fool's gold right now, man. We got to sustain. I can never get too excited. I got to stay even keeled, but I'm excited for the future. I like the way that things are moving for sure.
Action, thank you for joining the show. I'm really humbled that you took your valuable real estate and bars to shout me out in the record. It has given me so much cred over the years. I appreciate that.
I just wanted, you know, it's because you, to be honest, you haven't aged a minute. You look absolutely phenomenal. Your skin is, your exuberance is just like, I just want to commend you as a fellow Albanian.
Thank you, family. I appreciate the love. And now,
my brother,
your Knicks, as Jacoby mentioned, are in the AFC. What would it mean to you to see them playing in the playoffs this year?
It would mean the world, but you know, like I said, we got to take things slowly. I'm looking towards the future. I'm not worried about this year. This year, I'm giving it up this year just to make sure that we build. It's all about building and sustainability. Look at this man right here. That's a man playing right there.
Mm-hmm. Jay Randall,
that's a man playing right there. You know what I mean? That's a piece right there that needs to be on the Knicks forever.
So, of course, sign him up. You're a Knicks fan, and now the Brooklyn Nets are in town. They've got three superstars, future Hall of Famers. What's the difference between Knicks fans and Nets fans?
The city loves a winner. I'll tell you that much. There's a lot of new Brooklyn fans. But the Knicks are the home state. You know, this is hallowed ground, the Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. It's not temporary stuff. It's been here for years. This is some Greco-Roman wildness. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, like I said, no hate on anybody. I just want everyone to do well, and especially in the tri-state area.
Michael Jordan is considered the GOAT, but there are a couple of fan bases, Detroit, Indiana, and the Knickerbockers, that didn't necessarily cheer for Michael Jordan. How are you, man, as it relates to rocking his shoes?
I would never put a pair of Michael Jordan shoes on. The only time I've had them on, I had them on when I was young, and it was a mistake. But when I play in the CC Sabathia, you know, Celebrity All-Star softball game, I have to wear them just as a show of respect. But I put black tape over the Jordan symbol. Listen, for me, Shaq. I'm a Shaq guy. Shaquille O'Neal is my guy.
Explain to us why Shaquille O'Neal is your guy.
He has songs with legends. He's done crazy shit. He's just a nice guy. He comes off like he's somebody that you want to look up to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look at what he just did. He bought that ring for you. He just does amazing things. He's just the type of dude that, I don't know, I just want to do a song with him.
Well, this is the show that makes things happen like that. Big Diesel is a fan and supporter of the show. And you're right, that Biggie verse, when he was like, ooh, condos with elevators in them.
Ooh. And the Fushnikins joined. He has so much heat. He has heat.
No Hooks with RZA is one of my favorites as well.
Exactly. And, you know what I mean? Come on, bro. He has fire. We could go on. He has, for days, heat.
Well, I also know that you're a Jets fan, and they've got a big decision coming up with the NFL draft. What do you think they should do at number two?
I don't know, bro. Who the hell knows? I like that receiver out of Ohio State. You know, like I said, the Jets is just the team. It's been unbelievably bad. You want to wear the bag over your head. I want to wear a whole potato sack. I want to put my body in a potato sack when I watch that team. I don't even know what to do. Trade everything away. Bring back. I don't even know, man. I don't even know. I don't know what to do.
Well,
I'm just frustrated. I'm a frustrated fan.
I know. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I understand where you're coming from. One of the things you have seemed to master is your health and improving it. Can you talk about that journey in your book that you've been sharing, man, with your audience?
I had to get myself together. I was close to 400. You know what I mean? There's not a long life for someone that big. And you see me right here with the 500-pound farmer's walk, with the farmer's carry. I had to unlock my genetics, my animalisticness. And I think that I've done that, man. You know, I'm a born athlete. If I was taller, I would have been in all different leagues.
Well, we appreciate that. You should be able to get the book anywhere.
The Roy Wilkins League in Jamaica, Queens.
Appreciate you taking the time to join the show. And as always, we will have exclusive content with Action Bronson in
our
podcast. And make sure you stay tuned because we have more. Jalen Jacoby, thanks so much for joining the show.
Fellas. Thank you.
Two huge games tonight on ESPN. It is first, 7 o'clock. The two top teams in the Eastern Conference facing off, the Nets and the 76ers. And then in the nightcap, two teams vying for play-in playoff position at 9:30. It is the Mavs against the Grizzlies. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, as we know, there is so much turmoil around the country and specifically in Minneapolis and Minnesota in the wake of the Derek Chauvin trial and the Dante Wright shooting. They played games yesterday after suspending them previously. Do you think it was the right decision to do so?
I think it was the right decision. Unfortunately, Jacoby, we've had to endure playing through pain, drama, trauma, and segregation since we arrived in America. So, of course, we want to use our platforms to amplify our voices. At the same time, while the games still go on, the work to change legislation still must take place.
And finally, Jalen, I wanted to bring something to your attention that one of your former teammates said. Reggie Miller, your teammate from the Indiana Pacers, said this about superstar switching teams. Quote, if Michael Jordan ever would have called me and tried to sway me to come to Chicago, I would have told him to go bleep himself. Your thoughts?
Reggie, a legend, a great big brother, a great leader, Hall of Famer, terrific shooter. I learned so much from him. And look at that, being clutch. You start talking about clutch players of all time. Put some respect on my guy's name. If Reggie Miller, after Michael Jordan beat us in the playoffs, at any point would have left the team to go play with him, I still would not be talking to him to this day. I am dead serious.
At the end of your career, you would have definitely joined a super team. You would have definitely joined. You tried with the Suns. I want to thank Action Bronson for coming through. We'll be back tomorrow with Dame Lillard, 2 p.m. All right, we always do podcast-exclusive content with our guests. Today we have Action Bronson. Action Bronson, I usually don't read New York Times articles from front to back. That's just, I'm just not in the habit of doing that. They're so long. But I read yours. It was fascinating. And I want to talk to you about your surfing and your bodyboarding. Are you really out in the Rockaways in these waves?
Yeah, man. This is my life. I'm born head first. You know, that's the way I ride. I'm like a crocodile. I like to lay down on the board and just shred. It's all about catching shade, man. You know, like when I was young, I was really into bodyboarding and boogie boarding and stuff like that. And throughout the years, I was a buoy. I was just a round buoy and I could not fit on the board. It wouldn't hold me. So now that I've regained my life, I've regained back my youth that I want, you know, all the things that I did back then. And this is something that I always wanted to take serious. And man, I've been excelling. I've been out in the ocean. I've had a couple close calls. I've been out in the nor'easter while it was snowing. I practice in a pool in an indoor arena in New Jersey. I mean, life is pretty next level right now.
You are making it happen, my brother. And the one thing, like myself being a public figure, I appreciate that you don't only show your audience highlights. Like, oh, I had a period in my life where Jacoby and I called me Kangaroo Jalen because I was out of shape. So talk about the journey for you in public to change your body, change your mental health for your audience to be able to draw encouragement from.
I mean, those words are actually what you just said. It means a lot because I've done this to myself in the public eye. I've made it okay to be fat. You know, I've made it okay to be confident in yourself, but not being healthy is not the right message to be showing to people. And there's a lot of people that follow and do the things that we do. Like, you know, there's just a lot of influence there when people go to these restaurants and eat and drink and live free the way that I do. It's just that my genetics, I get fat, man. I get fat quick. And just taking control of it is just, it's changed everything. And my life is in public right now anyway. You've seen all my downfalls, you've seen my victories, you've seen everything. So I'm an open book and I'm there. I don't hide anything. I'm always right there, 100% truthful and always ready to keep growing. That's really what it is. And I feel that I had to show the people. I had to show the people that, you know, it doesn't take Superman to do this. You just got to put your mind to it and do it. It's for your family. It's for you. It's just for everything. It's a change. It's a big change. It's good.
So, you know, our colleague and friend CeCe Sabathia is getting mentioned and taking credit for your growth. What influence has CeCe had over this sort of transformation in your life?
I mean, me and CeCe, we've been friends for a while and we would text back and forth and stuff like that, talking about how we're trying to get jacked. And then one day I was like, yo, I'm down to a certain weight. And he put me on to my trainer, Dave Palladino. And ever since then, it's been on, you know, like we just became gym animals. And I was just working out with CC this morning. We did a big back day.
Oh, that's what's up. CC, yeah, that's man. My brother, friend of the show, the fellow man. Rock fam. I'm pretty yes, sure you've probably seen Pecos at some point if you've seen CC.
Of
that's
course.
That's my brother,
shouts
too.
To Pecos.
No doubt about it. So tell the audience what an average day of training entails for you and how your diet plays into that as well.
Well, let's go with today. Today I woke up at 4 a.m., got myself together, left the house at 5. I got high for an hour, and then I had a little bit of, I had like 4 egg whites and 1 piece of whole wheat toast with olive oil. All right? And then I got in the car and I drove 45 minutes to the gym. I did cardio for 30 minutes, warm up. Then I warmed my shoulders up and my back for 30 minutes. Then we did a serious, intense hour back workout. Then I did the stepper for 45 minutes, which was
That's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
It was death. And then I drove back 45 minutes, got ready to do this. Now I'm gonna do a little workout on the roof. I'm gonna go finish this filming thing that I have to do for this brand called, I'm not gonna mention, they didn't give me enough money for that. Some vegan sausage brand. And we're gonna finish that. Tomorrow I gotta do the Drew Barrymore show. I'm just doing a bunch of stuff. I'm gonna travel to Austin. I'm gonna get on a plane for the first time in a year and a half. I've been in Brooklyn for a year and a half, dog, just sitting here. Wow. It gave me all this time to get my stuff together, so I can't even complain.
Man, that's wild. Now, I know one thing that you're so associated with is food because you've got your Vice show and, you know, you're
well, no
known
longer
with
Vice. It's just I'm independent.
Oh, good for you. You don't have to be signed to a major label. It's 2021. Yeah.
I should have been independent for a long time, but, you know, we're good now.
Good. And so how has your activity in the kitchen changed? You know what I mean? Like, how has the things that you cooked have changed?
I cook everything. My wife eats all normal stuff. She eats a lot of Latin food, so I have to be a Latin chef as well. And I have to be a Colombian specific chef.
Yeah.
You know, I cook all kinds of things. I explore. I'm turning my backyard into a cooking arena, just fire and stuff like that. I just want to explore. There's this cooking show that I'm into right now. It's called Wilderness Cooking. It's just some random, like, middle-aged dude in Azerbaijan just cooking in the mountains. Just, like, wild. I love it. I'm obsessed with it, and I just want to live life like that.
What's next for you musically? I know you got so many things going on, and you've been such a successful and terrific artist and critically acclaimed. What's next?
Well, right now, you know, I put out Only for Dolphins last year. And since we haven't been able to perform anything, I feel like, you know, it just feels different. I want to get on the road and perform already. But I'm already working on my next project. I already have the artwork for the next 3. The next project, I'm going to tell you first, is going to be called Cocodrilo Turbo. You know?
How did you come with that title and what does it mean to you?
You know, I am the Cocodrilo. I am El Cocodrilo. I'm the crocodile. You know, that's how I'm a predator. I'm a prehistoric predator. I've learned to adapt on this earth for years and years and years and lifetimes, and I'm just on turbo. It's like Street Fighter Turbo, where everything is just going hyper speed. I am El Cocodrilo Turbo.
We can't wait for that. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations on the new book. Bleep
Thank
it. I'll
guys.
Do it tomorrow.
Appreciate
you
love.
So much.
Much Looking
love,
forward
fellas.
To catching
much
up soon.
For real. Thank you.
Have a great workout.
Peace, fellas. Peace.
Want to thank Action Bronson for coming through the show. It's always great to hear from him and to see somebody just improving and transitioning their life. Jalen, there was a big game last night that was like sneaky big. Didn't even make the A block. And that was the Suns against the Heat. The Heat have been playing well lately, especially defensively. But guess what happened? The Suns made light work of them. We're talking a Heat team that's 1-6-7 with a top 10 defense in the league. Lost to the Suns. Got waxed. Now, they got a lot of good bench production last night. Not a huge night from CP3. Not a huge night from Booker. I think Aiden led the team, top of my head, with like 19 points. Jalen, what do you have to consider when you're going up against the Suns in a playoff format?
The one thing that has allowed the Suns to be successful and what you got to pay attention to in a playoff format is they have an elite backcourt. The point guard is going to make good decisions with the ball. He's going to be fearless late in games. And if you help or you make a bad decision defensively, he's going to hit the open guy and or make you pay. Like Carmelo Anthony, and I'll keep saying this, and it'll catch up with everyone else soon. Going to the Suns after being with the Thunder has reinvented the image of Chris Paul as a basketball player. When he went to the Clippers and they became Lob City, they didn't meet expectations. Mm-hmm. And then there was a stink on his name that got him out of Los Angeles. And then it furthered when he played with James Harden and they didn't get it done and that didn't work out. So now he's not going to be viewed as, if you don't win multiple rings type of Chris Paul. It's going to be, he plays like a champion, even though he didn't join a super team to get a ring, Chris Paul. And how has he been able to reinvent himself? Not only on the floor with his leadership and making other young players around him better. And so now Devin Booker doesn't have to worry about feeding Ayton and feeding Johnson and nurturing Cameron Payne into being a backup point guard. He doesn't have to have those discussions. Monty Williams is a terrific coach and player development. Willie Green on that sideline, the exact same thing. They're developing the young players. So now Booker can show up and still be their actual superstar and get buckets off the dribble, in the paint, from three, take a heat check, and he can have a game where he barely scores double figures like yesterday and they actually win. So it's not like in a bubble where they needed him to score 35 points every night, especially in a regular season, because they remember, while he blew up in the bubble, they went 8-0. They still didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
And so, but what that did is allow the franchise, James Jones, the general manager, to say, I can now make a move for Chris Paul, bring in some vets like Crowder, and we can make a move. No one, including myself, thought that that would be first or second in the Western Conference. That's truly outstanding what they've been able to achieve. So, depending on their first-round matchup and the play-in, I'll pick them to win their first-round series. But in their second-round series, if it's Lakers or Clippers, I'm picking the other team.
Wait a second. Because there's been a wrinkle thrown in this whole thing, and that is the Jamal Murray injury. Because the way I had it going, it was like, all right, the Lakers probably won't fall to 7, but with LeBron out for another 2 weeks and AD out for maybe another 2 weeks, I could see him falling to 6, which would make for a Clippers-Lakers first-round series. However, with Jamal Murray out, I think there'll be a Nuggets-Lakers 4-5 series. I think there'll be a Blazers-Clippers 3-6 series, which means to me, what I would predict is a Mavs-Suns first-round series. So I'm going to ask you again, in a hypothetical world in which it's a Mavs-Suns first-round series and KP is healthy, would you pick the Suns to win that series?
Everybody's got a little light under the sun. Under the sun, under the sun. Yes, that would be my choice. And the difference it's gonna be Booker. That he gonna be the difference when those two teams play. So KP gonna get his. Ayton gonna oppose some of it, but he gonna always get his. CP and Luka, they're gonna be dazzling. CP plays D. But what Devin Booker is going to bring, it's going to be a lot more than my little brother Tim Hardaway and Benny Smith. He's just going to be able to, like, score 20 points in a quarter. He's had 70 points in a basketball game before in his young career. People sleep on that. He scored 70 points in an NBA game already. And so that would be my choice in that series.
Jalen, I was thinking about the Nuggets, and I was just really just sad about Jamal Murray and the impact of all of that. But then I found a silver lining to this dark cloud, Mr. Rose. You want to know what the silver lining to the dark cloud is?
Yes, sir.
More time for my guy, Facu Campazzo. If you have not been watching Nuggets game, Campazzo is dazzling. He's little, but he makes fancy passes. You know I love fancy passes. He can hit a shot here and there. I don't think he's going to make All-NBA first team. I would probably bet against that. But a lot of people are going to get to learn his name in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think they get out of the first round of the playoffs, but there's going to be a Campazzo impact. And, of course, Morris.
If somebody wants to know the mentality of David Jacoby playing rec ball, Campazzo passes. Should come to mind. It's almost like somebody trying to force a hot take. Like, Jacoby throw fancy passes every time.
Every time. You know how many times I try to put it between people's legs and they kick it? Just last Monday night, in 2 hours, I tried to throw it between three people's legs and got kicked twice. My teammate's like, what are you doing? Like, why don't you just pass him the ball and then we don't have to check it up? I love Campazzo, man. I really, really do love Campazzo. So this is interesting. This is like one of those like big stories. It's kind of a small story. It's a big story at the same time. And that is the Broncos, Buccaneers, and Seahawks are saying we ain't going to voluntary workouts, citing COVID. We're not going to voluntary workout. We'll go to work. We'll go to practice. We'll go to training camp. But if it's voluntary, I'm not flying there. I'm not showing up. I'm not putting myself at risk. What do you think about that?
Well, the Bucs just win a championship, and Tom Brady, like, not going to be able to do it. And everybody else in the organization, like, all right, cool.
Okay.
So each situation is different. Russell Wilson, like, this is going to be my last year with y'all, so I ain't going. So we might not even book that trip. Y'all didn't even put me on a promotion. How y'all going to even know? Not going to be able to do it. And the Broncos, they still looking for a quarterback. So they like, we might as well try to do something different. Because going to the combine, that didn't work. Like, the traditional route didn't work. You know, we have John Elway. He's built us a Super Bowl champion, not only as a player, but as a coach. But he's been unable to find, outside of Peyton Manning, that guy that he could take it to the future. And so, but in all seriousness, I understand what they're doing. And to each team its own.
Yeah, I mean, we've been told not to do voluntary things outside the house for the last year and a couple months. So if you put the word voluntary in front of it and my paycheck doesn't change, I'll be at home, especially if I'm married to Ciara. Jay, this is something that I know is important to you because, you know, you're rich. So you've got people that, you know, balance your sheets and you've got a shopper. You know what I mean? You've got an accountant, you've got a lawyer, agent, like you've got all the sort of support staff that a rich person needs. And so does DJ Mustard, underrated producer. And he had a personal shopper, right? So he wanted to buy some clothes for him and his lady.
Go shopping.
And he would just like, you know, have someone go pick them up for her. And that this person used the term stylist to get better deals and whatnot. But come to find out, DJ Mustard's personal shopper spent over $50,000 of his money on things for herself. Bags, designer clothes, all of this. I saw the whole back and forth in the gram. He was posting the DMs. So, Mr. Rose, we don't have to talk about this specific situation. But has something like this happened to you before?
No. You know, there's a term that says, scare money don't make money.
Mm-hmm.
when you grow up as poor as I did, my money gonna be scared forever.
Good for you.
So I'm paying attention. I'm watching. I'm listening. And of course you could get clipped. What I mean by clipped is, you know, a couple of hundred here, extra charge there. One of the things I realized I needed to start doing is change my credit card maybe either once a quarter or biannually. Just because being famous, going to so many restaurants, going to so many hotels, going to gas stations, going to markets, going to stores, putting on Amazon, putting on eBay, You start to look down at your credit card bill and realize that you ain't the only person charging on your card. And a couple of those reasons are they're your wife or kids or other family members that had it saved on their computer when you ordered some or bought them some or whatever, whatever. But then the other thing is just fraud. Like, just like you take the time to do this show and our staff come up with a rundown, and there are people that are doing the exact same thing, trying to figure out how to get in your bank account and how to steal your money.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending the exact same time. They're spending the exact same energy. But I did have a company. This is like 2010 that I sent them my taxes to file them for me. I think I told you this story. I sent them to file my taxes, and I realized that they took my money and didn't file my taxes.
What? What?
True story. True story. This is like 2010. I ended up getting a bill from the IRS for like $75,000. I'm like, hold on.
What?
I'm like, hold on. Like, what just happened? So absolutely, that did happen to me before. But
You ever get credit card fraud? Like, you ever get the fraud alert where someone's like, yeah, someone's up in Modell's right now trying to spend $600. So you get that text, you get scared real quick.
Well, that just happened to me at Best Buy for $1,600, maybe like 5 days ago. This is why.
Really?
And let me tell you something. Each car vendor relationship is different. Sometimes if you set up recurring payments or vendors that have already used your card X amount of times, if you change your card number, and American Express is one of the people I'm thinking of that comes to mind, people can still charge the account even though they don't physically have the new card number. So it's like, say Verizon, I had a beeper bill, a cell phone bill, all of these bills with Verizon, and I don't even have them no more. And I'm trying to change my credit card number so that they won't charge me anymore. Even if I change the card number, they can issue me another card. They still, in a lot of cases, allow that recurring vendor to charge your account.
You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So you think you get a new card, so anyone who's got the older information can't charge it, but they can, especially if it's set up as a reoccurring. Everybody listening to this, don't just look at the balance. Look at all the transactions. Look at all the transactions. I got shook one time. I had thousands of dollars just from one of my accounts, one of my credit cards. I was like, I did not do it. I don't know what this is. I started calling up. I'm bothering about this and that. I'm Googling stuff and all that. Do you know what it was? Donation to Jalen Rose Leadership Academy.
Yes.
I had no idea. I was calling people.
Like, hold on.
I'm asking my wife. I'm like, this ain't like $200. I kept trying to think. I'm like, where was I? I was like, it was a Sunday. I remember that Sunday I was watching football with Jay. I was like, I didn't spend that much.
Like, hold on. What else happened that day? Exactly.
It out.
That was love.
Because I'm sure you deal with this a lot. Like, I'd be telling you I'm going to donate, but not doing it for like 6 weeks later. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Yes.
Who did just happen
and
to
you? Play the double Gregor. Dutch and win that follow up with people.
Yeah,
and not
yeah,
too.
Yeah. That's why I always tell your assistant, I'm like, yo, it's never a bother when you follow up with me on some money I promised for the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. It is never a bother. Never, ever, ever. Man, shout out to the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy.
Absolutely. Shout out to you, all of the followers and supporters of JRLA, our scholars, our staff, our principal, Wendy Lewis, doing an amazing job, and our donors. Big shout out to Stephen Ross. Big shout out to Tom Gores. These are individuals that have Michigan ties and being a tuition-free public charter high school. It's imperative to have that support to drive the outcomes that we look to achieve. So I'm extremely grateful as I've launched a fundraising campaign. You've been to the gym, Jacoby. You've been to the school. And you can make a full court shot if you warm up. We got an elementary school gym. Took over an elementary school. The caffeinasium. It's a multi-purpose space.
Of course. Everybody knows about the caffeinasium. With the tile floors instead of the wood floors, so you can mop up the spills. Everybody knows about that. You know, it's the caffeinasium, but it's also where, like, you do the school plays, like where you do graduation. It's every event.
Lunch, so now that we have 10 years of being the number one high school for college matriculation in the city of Detroit, amongst the top, and not only graduating our scholars, but navigating with them via secondary education, it's important that we now expand to get a state-of-the-art gym. We need two more classrooms. We need three more bathrooms. I need to extend programming so I can continue to expose them to life skills, social skills, and the level of discipline and problem solving that they're going to need to navigate in life. So this multi-purpose space is, while it's for our scholars, it's also for the community, because I'm going to make sure there's a mental health element in the school as well. It's going to be a community hub. Right now, I'm working with Henry Ford Health Systems to set up JRLA to be a vaccination site over these next couple of weeks. Michigan has had some of the highest spike in COVID cases in the country. And when news goes that blood clots have affected a lot of people with the Johnson & Johnson shot.
Six people out of 6.8 million. That's not a lot. That's more than one in a million. So that's not say a lot.
So let me give you an example. When you've already been abused, and so, like, for Black people in this country, like, by the police and or by medicine, when you've been abused, Jacoby, all a person probably has to do was talk loud or raise their hand to get you to flinch. So that six sounds like 600 million to people like my uncle, who forwarded it to me and said, I told you. I worked at the plant for over 30 years. I've seen vehicles go down and get recalled time and time again. That was his logic for not doing it. So the people in my community, that's exactly why I need to do this, to show them that it's something that's extremely important. And we'll be doing, I believe, the Moderna shot.
Well, I had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at the Javits Center site, and I'll remember that moment forever. Felt so good. And now I'm 2 weeks out. I'm vaccinated, fully vaccinated, right? Went to dinner this weekend, or for my birthday, indoors. You were there, indoors. And question for you. They announced that the next UFC event, the big one between Poirier and McGregor, it's going to be in Las Vegas at full capacity. This is just you. You're not giving advice to other people. Just how you feel. Would you feel comfortable going to a fight at full capacity, everyone wearing masks? Strangers to your left and right.
No, not yet. The one thing about this pandemic is it's changed a lot of lives and families forever. You know, the unfortunate people that died. How about Jason Tatum saying that he now basically needs an inhaler before games?
Yeah, he's basically saying, like, he's still feeling the lingering effects, but they're getting better. And that was months ago that he was tested positive and was out with it.
So many times when somebody says that I have COVID, what I realize that takes place is, since they're alive, people underestimate the fact that they're going to be lingering effects, or they can be. And so it's going to be interesting, Jacoby, over these next few weeks as, I try to set this vaccination site up at the school, how many people from the community, parents, that I'm actually able to affect with this latest community effort. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. I personally would feel safe going to one physically now that I'm vaccinated like that, but I'm just not there psychologically yet. You know what I mean? After 14 months of staying away from everybody and just social distancing and wearing masks and being freaked out to be around people, I'm just not comfortable yet just from like the PTSD of the quarantine and the pandemic to sit next to somebody. Scientifically, I'd feel safe, but emotionally, I would just rather watch at home on my couch. And also, I don't want to stay up that late.
What's one of those things like right now essential? It's like if you don't need to put yourself in harm's way, you probably choose not to.
Exactly.
That's more of the attitude that as a community that we need to have. As a community that we need to have. And so that's the same thing for travel. And that goes for me too. There have been a lot of, you know how much I travel. I purposely, for safety and just feeling like it's the right thing to do, have not traveled as much, because that means one less person at the airport, one less person taking up a seat on the flight.
Well, if you want to help Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, go to JRLADetroit.com. And Jalen, who's going to join us in the show tomorrow?
Dame Dalla is joining Jalen and Jacoby. It will be Dame time. Bruh man, Lyco Martin, is dropping by to check in on his guys. And I can't wait to ask Dame. This is the question that we got to make sure that we always ask Dame on television. As much as he loves basketball, and much as so many people love video games, we got to always ask Dame what he's listening to and what he's recording. We need to try to get him to spit a four, try to get him to spit a bar while he's on the show.
You can look forward to that tomorrow. Dame Lillard joins the show. We'll be back. Why is that?
We're not done. We are. Not done.